This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, what's that? Are you kidding me?
Brian Billick.
They want a physical game. They think that's the game they want. We got to show them they picked wrong.
Super Bowl winning head coach.
The Baltimore defense, Brian Billick. That has been the difference in this game.
NFL Network contributor.
Mitch Trubisky is making improvements. You always hear the quarterbacks refer to the idea that the game is slowing down for them. And I think the game will begin to slow down for Mitch Trubisky.
Brian Billick.
Look, somebody!
Parkins on 670 The Score.
In our conversation with Brian Billick, brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service from the NFL Network. Brian Billick now with us, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. How's it going, Brian?
Doing great.
Good to have you on board, Brian. Bears just picking him up and knocking him down one at a time, stacking victories, and it feels good from a fan's perspective. It really does. I mean, what did you like about what you saw from our guys against the Lions Sunday?
Well, like you said, just the next game, the next improvement. I'm doing a piece tomorrow on my show on the NFL Network. You know, about a month ago after the Miami game, I showed with Mitch Trubisky as well as he had played. He had missed three or four throws that I felt like he was going to start to make, and that's exactly what he's done. I'm showing a couple clips where some throws that he maybe didn't make earlier that he's willing to put the ball in some places. You know, before it was, don't want to turn the ball over, playing good defense. But he's taking more chances, but because delivering, because he's willing to, he sees that he can put the ball in some tighter areas, and he's making those kind of throws.
Who is your comp for Mitch Trubisky?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I think because of, although he certainly is running around and his ability to use some legs, I kind of made the comp more that he has the potential to be a little, you know, maybe even a Ben Roethlisberger-like in terms of his size to be able to shrug off the tackle, buy a little bit of time, and I think he'll mature in that way. And he's a guy that I think could get a lot of productivity out of fewer throws. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is amazing. He can be 21 of 27, only 27, but 450 yards, you know, and three touchdowns. You know, those kind of numbers where it doesn't have to be that 35-40 throw game.
Would it concern you if your quarterback were your most effective ball carrier?
Well, all that means is it's a good thing in terms of productivity they can have. You know, just look at Cam Newton and what he's doing with McCaffrey in the backfield in Carolina. Yeah, you'd like that compliment, and you don't want him to be your only running threat. That's a big part of it as well. So, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more consistent, just for the sheer number of, you don't want him to take too many hits.
Can you go to the Super Bowl without an improved running game if you're the Bears?
Oh, boy. You better be awfully efficient in the passing game. Certainly the defense is going to be good enough. But where it's going to cost you on that route between here and the Super Bowl, particularly, is in the red zone. You know, at some point in the red zone, you got to be able to take that shot in the end zone. You got to have yards after the catch from an efficiency standpoint. But at some point, you got to be able to run the ball in the red zone when they put the eight-man front on the field to close out a game so you don't have to have your quarterback thrown all the time.
Brian, we've seen a play that didn't get run this year with Mitch Trubisky and Chase Daniel both on the field. We've seen Eddie Jackson on offense a couple of times. It made the Lions call a timeout. It was Eddie Jackson and Bryce Callahan were out there. What is the point of coaches installing those plays? Is it more for their team and to liven it up? Is it to confuse other coaches and put it on film? What's the end goal with these trickeration plays that we're seeing a lot of?
Yeah, both of them, in terms of the sense that, yes, a team does, depending upon how much you want to use it, you force the team to use prep time during the week to get ready for it. Even if it's not a whole lot, you've got to cover it with your team. But also it does, and it's interesting that you would bring that up, because you do kind of, it's a change up. The players enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a fun thing to do, and there's nothing wrong with that.
What's the goofiest thing you ever did, whether it's with the Ravens or with the Vikings as an assistant? What's is somebody from the defense, maybe on the offensive side, anything?
Wow. I try not to be too goofy.
Mm-hmm. You ever let Tony Siragusa go out in a pattern?
That would have been fun. Now, you know, we do some direct snap stuff and some fake, like the play is stopped and the quarterback walking off. You know, you don't get real crazy with that. But now everybody, you know, you look in New Orleans, what they're doing with Taysom Hill. You know, and this guy's a legitimate. He's a guy that's got legitimate throwing skills. He's a Tim Tebow, but can actually throw. And this is going to get interesting down there when you got a guy like that. I see in Baltimore, they're talking about maybe Lamar Jackson even starting now because Joe Flacco's a little hurt. So you're seeing a higher influence of these guys coming into the league.
Brian, have you noticed any trends around the league of offenses like the Bears, the Chiefs, Eagles that do a lot of the, you know, horizontal, the motions and all that, where they struggle in short yardage?
Yeah, at some point you'd like to, you know, just be able to get downhill and punch it in on a short yardage. You know, I've always marveled at people that'll get into the eye. You got a third and one, and you put the running back 6 yards back and try to get him started downhill. Same way. You know, the vertical, you know, the jet sweep and that kind of stuff on third down can be fun. It can be useful, but that's a long way to go to get short yardage. So, you know, you got to pick your spots with it. You talk about the presence of a good physical running back. At some point, you'd like to be able to get downhill when you have to.
Do you think it's a lack of actually practicing it, or like why are the two correlated?
Well, it depends on a team's going to play it, and it doesn't take much for a jet sweep, wide play, trick play to work. All it takes is a defensive end that doesn't keep integrity up the field or comes crashing down inside. And it doesn't take much for that plane to get blown up when, you know, the guard's trying to jump up to the second level and the guy jumps outside or the defensive end. You know, all of a sudden it can look real bad, too, when one player kind of whiffs on his assignment.
Brian, the Bears have the Vikings Sunday night. Bears are slight favorites. Finally busted that divisional losing streak at 10 with their win over the Lions this past week. Are the Vikings, in your mind, clearly still the class of the division, or are the Bears flirting with them?
Well, this is a big game because you got to hold serve at home. Clearly, for validation, the Bears have got to beat the Vikings at home. But to do so, I think the Bears are looking for that validation that, yes, we are that team in the division now. You got to hold serve at home. And this would go a long way for making that statement that, yes, we are the team in the NFC North.
What's the toughest thing about the Vikings?
You know, their defense seems to have gotten its stride again. You know, they're awful tough to run against, even with a standard box. They don't have to load the box up. They can do enough things on the zone on the back end, but bring some zone blitzes. Harrison Smith is the real deal. They're just a good, solid defense. And Kirk Cousins seems to be playing to the strength of, I know we're playing good defense. We're getting the run the ball better. Kirk Cousins is having a great year as well. They're just very balanced on both sides of the ball.
We were talking yesterday about those teams that are just below that level of the Rams and Saints in the NFC, and we have to acknowledge the leader in the NFC East because one does exist, and it's the Redskins. You're on the Beltway, and I commented yesterday, I wonder if the people in Washington feel like the people do here about them, and that is 6-3, and, you know, are the Redskins a good club?
You know, when you say that out loud, the first reaction of most people is, really? Redskins are 6-3? Because they've shown some signs of being pretty darn good. And then they have that head scratching. How did that happen? You know, how did they lose? That's the thing they've got to get over, even to have confidence in themselves. And it helps that you're in a division that absolutely sucks. I mean, I don't know where. And Philadelphia is now, you know, I do a show in Philadelphia every week, and you got to kind of talk them off the ledge every week, but now it's harder to do because it's not looking real good.
You think they should be on the ledge?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, to end your misery. But Washington, you know, obviously, I don't think if most people, if you were to ask even the layperson or the informed NFL fan, going, okay, what do you think the Redskins' record is? You know, maybe 5-4, maybe 400 or 500 at 4-4, something like that. I think to hear that they're 6-3, a little like the Chargers. You know, when you look at the Chargers, they're a legitimate team now, but they kind of go under the radar, and I don't think a lot of people recognize they're as good as they are.
Talking to Super Bowl champion coach Brian Billick from the NFL Network on The Score, what's the worst playing condition field that you ever played on?
well, it was that Hard Knocks game. You remember we went into Philly, and we ended up calling the game. They had made the transition from baseball game. This is in the old vet now. And there were gaps, and my players just basically refused to play. So we ended up having to call the game in a preseason game. It was the year that we did Hard Knocks, and that was, you know, that's the worst that I've ever seen. I mean, it was just physically unsafe to play.
Yeah, that field had zippers in several spots. I remember the Bears had a wideout named Wendell Davis who blew out both of his patella tendons on the same play, just trying to jump off of that awful turf.
And there are grooves in that. The best thing about that one, the most amazing, is, you know, so Andy and I get together, and, hey, well, our players are freaked. There's no way we can do this. There's no way they can prepare it. So Mr. Lurie comes down, David Modell comes down, and we go into the officials' room because the officials made it very clear. We cannot stop a game. We can suspend it temporarily, but it takes the league to cancel a game. So we go into the officials' room, and they have this manual, you know, that they take with them, and they have. So we open this page, and there's like five numbers, league numbers. We call all five numbers, no answer. It's like, do they know we're playing? You know. Finally, Mr. Lurie stepped in and said, look, it's my responsibility. I'll take it. We're canceling the game. But I always thought that was amazing. We couldn't get a hold of anybody in the league office on a game.
Sounds like the NHL.
That is crazy. Well, because Adam Schefter just reported, if Monday night's game is played in Mexico City, a number of Rams and Chiefs players are now strongly considering not playing in the game on the messy surface. Quote, it's not fair to risk our health, end quote, one prominent player said today.
Yeah, I've heard that they have concerns. Who dimension the league doesn't have and get the guys down there to get it sorted out. But that's a fair observation. Like I said, that field in Philly, you couldn't put players on it. Once they reach that point where they were, when it sounds like the Rams and Chiefs players are saying, boy, it's hard to continue on with that because then the players just get freaked.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, sounds good.
Talk next week.
That's Brian Billick from the NFL Network.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.